Chapter 134. Hydraulic Components and Control Systems. Automatic Transmission Fluid. Purpose and Function. Automatic Transmission Fluid, abbreviated ATF, is highly refined oil with a viscosity similar to SAE 20W20 oil, and is specially designed for use in an automatic transmission. Newer ATFs are lower in viscosity and are similar to SAE 0W10 oil. Purposes and functions of ATF are as follows. Transfers power and torque converter. Provides hydraulic pressure in clutches and servos. Lubricates bearings, bushings, and gears. Transfers heat to cool transmission parts. Provides the correct friction for clutch and band application. Acts as the medium to control transmission shifting by traveling through passageways, acting on valves, and being directed by solenoids. Types. The three basic types of ATF include. Number 1. Non-friction modified. The first ATF did not have friction-reducing additives. This type of fluid was used in early band-type automatics, all first generation. Type F ATF is an example of a non-friction-modified ATF. Number 2. Friction-modified. Friction-modified ATF types include Dexron. Number 3. Highly friction-modified. All current original equipment manufacturers use automatic transmission 5 fluids that are highly friction-modified. These include Dexron 6. Merkin 5, ATF Plus 4, and ATFWS friction modifiers add to the ATF, and along with hydraulic, orifices and accumulators, devices and electronic controls help produce proper shift quality. Typical ATF applications. Automatic transmission fluid is formulated to work in specific transmissions. Using the specified fluid is the key to proper operation. See Chart 134-1 for examples of the types and applications of selected vehicles and fluids. Automatic transmission fluid cooler. Purpose and function. The torque converter generates a great amount of heat because of fluid shear as its internal elements spin at different speeds in relation to each other. The greatest amount of heat is generated when the vehicle is operating under a heavy load and the torque converter clutch is disengaged. The ATF can reach high temperatures, over 250 degrees Fahrenheit, or 120 degrees Celsius, very quickly, which is why an automatic transmission fluid cooler is used. Most vehicles use a small section of the engine cooling system radiator to transfer heat from the ATF to the coolant, which cools the ATF. Parts and operation. Automatic transmissions transaxles use a pump to circulate ATF and to provide the necessary hydraulic flow to operate the hydraulic components of the unit. The ATF is pumped, or directed, from the torque converter, greatest source of heat, to the cooler when the torque converter clutch is not applied. The ATF flows through the cooler, which has the following characteristics. It is a separate section of the radiator tank. The hotter transmission fluid gives up heat to the cooler engine coolant. Some manufacturers use a cooler bypass valve that will allow fluid to bypass the cooler if restricted. Some vehicles also use a temperature-controlled valve to block the flow of fluid during low-temperature operation, such as is used in Dodge, Ram, trucks. Many vehicles with towing packages use a larger cooler or a combination of a liquid-to-liquid and a liquid-to-air cooler in series with each other to handle the extra heat load of towing. The ATF returns to the transmission transaxle to passages that lubricate the internal moving parts. This returned fluid is called lube oil. See Figures 134-1 and 134-2. Caution: because the lube oil uses the ATF flowing from the cooler, if there is a blockage in the cooler, the transmission transaxle may not have enough fluid flow to properly cool or lubricate the bearings and bushings inside the unit, leading to wear and eventually premature failure. Refer to Chart 134-1. Selected samples of automatic transmission fluid and some applications. Always check service information for proper specified fluid when servicing any automatic transmissions transaxles. Transmission fluid heater. The cooler is located in the radiator in most vehicles and, as a result, the coolant will also warm the ATF when the temperatures are cold. Some vehicles are equipped with a transmission fluid heater that uses the coolant to warm the fluid when it is cold. Warm fluid works better than cold fluid to lubricate moving parts inside the unit. See Figure 134-3. Refer to Figure 134-1. Automatic transmission fluid is routed from the torque converter, where most of the heat is generated, to the radiator where it is cooled. The fluid then returns to the transmission transaxle to lubricate the bearings and bushings. Refer to Figure 134-2. A cutaway of a typical radiator showing the automatic transmission cooler. The heat from the automatic transmission fluid is released to the engine coolant. The engine coolant also warms the fluid as soon as the coolant flows through the radiator. Refer to Figure 134-3. Engine coolant from the engine block flows through the passages in the cooler warmer, and then out through the thermovalve to the upper radiator tank. The thermovalve uses a wax element type valve to control the flow of engine coolant through the case-mounted cooler warmer. The thermovalve improves the ATF warm-up times and maintains ATF temperature within the optimum operating range between 170 degrees and 190 degrees Fahrenheit, or 77 degrees and 88 degrees Celsius. Transmission oil pump. Purpose and function. Every hydraulic system requires a pump to supply fluid flow and to pressurize the system. However, the pump itself does not develop pressure, but instead pressure occurs when there is a resistance to flow. Initially, fluid flows freely when a hydraulic circuit is empty or partially filled. Once the circuit is completely full, there is a resistance to further flow. At this point, pressure begins to build up in the circuit as the pump continues to create flow. Parts and operation. Most oil pumps mount directly behind the torque converter and are usually driven by the converter drive hub. This connects the pump to the engine and allows it to respond quickly to engine demand. This type of oil pump operates whenever the engine is running. See Figure 134-4. Pressure regulation. Transmission oil pumps are capable of creating an excessive amount of pressure quickly, therefore, every transmission uses a pressure regulator valve, or pressure control valve, to control hydraulic pressure. This is usually a spool valve and spring combination. This regulated pressure, commonly known as mainline pressure, is the working pressure for the entire hydraulic system. Most pressure regulator valves balance pump pressure on one side of the valve against a preset spring force acting on the other side of the valve. When hydraulic pressure is greater than the spring force, the valve moves in its bore far enough to uncover an exhaust port. See Figure 134-5. The exhaust port provides a low pressure path to the transmission oil pan, sump, where excess ATF is stored. Excess pressurized fluid flowing through this port reduces system pressure. When hydraulic pressure drops below spring pressure, the regulator valve closes the port and pressure begins to build up again. In operation, the opening and closing of the exhaust port occurs many times per second. This sequence of events achieves a steady pressure as the valve balances both the spring pressure and the hydraulic pressure. Because of this action, this type of valve is sometimes called a balance valve. Refer to Figure 134-4. Figure A, gear type pump. Figure B, gyrotor type pump. Figure C, vane type pump. Variable displacement pump. Many newer automatic transmissions and transaxles use a variable displacement pump to reduce the power needed to achieve fluid pressure to the amount required instead of being based on pressure alone. The use of a variable displacement pump helps improve fuel economy and reduce exhaust emissions. See Figure 134-6. Refer to Figure 134-5. When pressure on the face of the pressure regulator valve overcomes spring force, the valve moves to open the exhaust port. Electronic pressure regulation. Electronic automatic transmissions transaxles often regulate hydraulic system pressure using computer-controlled solenoids called any of the following. Pressure control solenoids abbreviated. Electronic pressure control. Pressure control. Variable force solenoids. And. Force motors. An onboard computer switches the solenoids on and off very quickly using pulse width modulation. The solenoid pushes against an internal valve which opens and closes the hydraulic circuit it regulates. Electronic pressure control allows precise hydraulic system pressure regulation and can also be used to modify the timing and feel of transmission shifting. See Figure 134-7. Typical pressures. Line pressure is controlled by the powertrain control module or the transmission control module to provide the specific pressure needed by the system based on input from the sensors such as vehicle speed and engine load. Line pressure is reduced to improve fuel economy because lowering pressure reduces draw on the engine which is driving the pump. Typical line pressures include normal line pressure equals 60 to 120 psi, or 414 to 830 kilopascals. The accelerator pedal pressed to wide open throttle equals 90 to 150 psi, or 620 to 1034 kilopascals. The gear selector in reverse or manual low equals 150 to 300 psi, or 1034 to 2068 kilopascals. Higher pressures are necessary in reverse because these apply devices are usually smaller and or have fewer clutch plates to ensure that the clutches are firmly applied, in order to avoid slippage when the engine is producing maximum torque. Apply or holding devices. Purpose and function. Apply devices or holding devices are the mechanical or hydraulic assemblies that provide the force to hold or drive members of a planetary gear set. Automatic transmissions typically use the following as apply devices. Transmission bands. Multiple plate clutches. And one-way clutches. Refer to figure 134-6. The variable pump is at the maximum output position until the regulator valve moves enough to decrease volume by rotating the slide against the force of the priming spring. The position of the pump constantly varies depending on the needs of the transmission transaxle and the driving conditions. Refer to figure 134-7. The pressure control solenoid controls the mainline pressure, which is in turn controlled by the powertrain control module or the transmission control module, by applying pressure to the spring side of the pressure regulator valve. Bands. Terminology. Transmission bands are holding, or braking, devices. The planetary gear set member held is known as a reaction member. A transmission band stops and holds one planetary gear set member so that another member can react against the held member and develop output motion. The reaction member has a control surface for the band to ride on, known as a drum. The band directly affects the drum, and the drum directly affects the planetary gear set member. See figure 134-8. The band provides a holding force around the outside of the drum, closing tightly to keep it from turning. To repeat, a transmission band is a holding device and is not capable of driving any member of the planetary gear set. Transmission bands are made of cast iron or steel with friction material lining on the inside surface. Transmission design and component size dictate the type and size of band used. Bands fall into one of two categories: single wrap and double wrap. The single wrap band is a simple one-piece design, while the double wrap band is a split band with overlapping ends. Bands may also be classified as either flexible or fixed, depending on how well they hold their shape when they are off the drum. See figure 134-9. Hydraulic servos. A band is applied by using a hydraulically operated piston that travels inside a machine cylinder bore. This piston and cylinder assembly is known as a servo. See figure 134-10. A piston return spring normally holds the servo piston in its unapplied position. To apply the band, hydraulic fluid, under pressure, enters the servo cylinder and acts on the piston. The piston begins moving once hydraulic pressure overcomes spring force. Refer to figure 134-8. Gear set members are attached to a drum and are held stationary when the band applies. Refer to figure 134-9. Transmission bands come in several designs and thicknesses. Refer to figure 134-10. A servo uses hydraulic pressure to move a piston, which applies a band. Servo linkages. A mechanical rod, called a strut, and linkage attaches to the piston and connects it to the band. As the piston moves, the linkage applies the band by tightening it around the drum. Servo rods and struts transfer the servo apply force to the transmission band. Rods are round metal bars and struts are flat metal plates. These may be used at either or both ends of the band. Linkages connect the band to the servo or an anchor. One end of a band is often anchored to the transmission case, and whenever the band is applied, the drum that the band wraps around is held from rotating. See figure 134-11. Note: some bands have a provision for adjustment and may be adjusted in vehicle while others are adjusted or set during transmission assembly. Refer to figure 134-11. One end of a band is held stationary and the other end is attached to the servo. Multiple plate clutches. Terminology. Like a transmission band, a multiple plate hydraulic clutch is a type of apply device. Clutches have more friction area so they can develop more force and handle more torque than a band, and they are self-adjusting. Parts. The multiple plate clutch consists of plates, a piston, drum, retainer, and snap ring. Hydraulic pressure acts upon the clutch piston which moves in the drum. The piston movement compresses the plates together to provide either a holding or driving function. When the pressure is released, the piston returns to an unapplied position via return spring assembly. The entire assembly is commonly known as a clutch pack. See figure 134-12. The plates of a multiple plate clutch assembly consist of a friction plate alternated with steel plates. A friction plate, also called simply a friction, has a rough surface friction material applied to both faces. The friction, clutch lining, Material is made from a mixture of natural and man-made fiber. Natural fibers include cotton or wood, or paper, and man-made fibers are aramid, Kevlar, or carbon. The exact mixture is determined by the transmission engineer to provide the desired heat resistance and durability standards. A steel plate, also called simply a separator plate or steel, has a smooth, flat surface finish with no friction material. Some transmissions may not have separate frictions and steels but rather combine them. One side of the plate will be coated with the frictional surface while the other side is flat metal like the steels. Collectively, the friction and steel plates are called clutch plates. Generally, the steel plates have splines on their outer edge, while the friction plates have splines on their inner edge. Each set of splines engages matching splines on a shaft, a drum, planetary gear set member, or transmission case. The piston compresses the clutch plates against a thicker reaction plate known as the pressure plate. Pressure plates may be used at one or both ends of the clutch pack and are available in selective, or specific, sizes for adjusting clutch pack clearance. The pressure plate and clutch assembly components fit into either a clutch drum, retainer, or a machine bore in the transmission case. Snap rings retain all the clutch assembly components and are available in selective, or specific, sizes for adjusting clearance. See Figure 134-13. Some transmissions use a special wave-type spring to return the piston and cushion clutch applications. The piston returns to an unapplied position via return spring assembly. These springs are designed to return the piston to the released position when applied fluid pressure is removed from the clutch pack. The two types of springs commonly used are the coil spring and the Belleville spring. Refer to Figure 134-12. An exploded view of a multiple plate clutch pack assembly. Refer to Figure 134-13. A typical clutch pack assembly. Clutch operation. To apply the clutch, pressurized fluid enters the drum through an internal passage in the input shaft. When the clutch applies, hydraulic pressure acting on the piston squeezes the two sets of plates together to mechanically connect the two components that engage the splines of the plates. The fluid acts on the piston and moves it against return spring force to clamp the clutch plates together and hold them against the pressure plate. See Figure 134-14. The friction between the plates then locks the clutch drum to the hub, causing them to turn as one unit. To release the clutch, hydraulic fluid to the apply side of the piston is cut off and exhausted through an exhaust port. The piston return springs, which were compressed when the clutch was applied, are now free to expand and move the piston back, allowing the clutch plates to disengage. Two types of clutches. Although a multiple plate clutch is an apply device similar to a transmission band, it differs from a band because it can also be used to drive members of planetary gear sets as well as hold them. There are two types of multiple plate clutches. Number 1. Holding, or braking, clutches. A clutch contains friction discs which are splined to one member and the steel disc are splined to another member of a planetary gear set. When the clutch is applied, the friction surfaces are clamped or held together, keeping whatever the clutch plates are splined to from rotating. See Figure 134-15. Number 2. Driving clutches. There are two types of multiple plate driving clutches, and both types are commonly used in automatic transmissions. In one configuration, splines connect a set of friction plates to the transmission input shaft so that these plates function as the driving member. The alternating set of steel plates is splined to the inside of the clutch drum and serves as the driven member. When the clutch is released, the drive plate rotates with the input shaft, but they do not drive the driven plate that splines to the drum. When the clutch applies, the piston takes up clearance and forces both sets of plates firmly together. Now, the input shaft and drum rotate together at the same speed and torque transfers from one gear set member to another. A passageway carries fluid to the clutch apply piston. With the second driving clutch configuration, the drum connects directly to the input shaft so the drum always rotates with the shaft. Splines connect the steel plate to the inside of the drum and the friction plate to the outside of a clutch hub. When the clutch applies, hydraulic pressure compresses the clutch pack to lock the drum and clutch hub together. The input shaft then drives the output shaft and both turn at the same speed. Accumulators. Purpose and function. An accumulator cushions or dampens the apply force during a shift. An accumulator reduces hydraulic pressure surges by temporarily diverting part of the fluid flow in a hydraulic circuit into a parallel circuit or chamber. Accumulators can be described as hydraulic shock absorbers because they absorb or reduce the shock of engagement of the clutch or band. The diversion allows pressure in the main apply circuit to increase gradually and provides a smooth engagement of the band or clutch. Piston type accumulators look and function much like servo pistons. In fact, some piston type accumulators share a bore with one of the transmission servos. This common bore design is known as an integral accumulator. See Figure 134-16. Refer to Figure 134-14. Hydraulic fluid under pressure enters the clutch housing and exerts a force on the clutch piston. The clutch piston forces the steel plates and the friction plates together, creating a shift. Refer to Figure 134-15. In a holding clutch, one set of discs engages splines on the transmission case and the other set engages splines on the drum. By applying the clutch, the drum is locked to the case. Operation. As hydraulic pressure enters both circuits, the clutch piston or band servo piston starts to move first. Once the clearance is taken up and resistance increases, the circuit pressure increases. This is when the accumulator piston starts to dampen the clamping force and time of the apply device. The accumulator piston area and spring are designed to absorb fluid during the clutch circuit pressure rise when the clutch piston stops moving. The result of this dampening action results in a slight increase in the clutch application. When the time is increased between the initial clutch application and complete application of the clutch, the result is a smoother shift. Note: accumulators are disappearing in modern electronic transmissions due to adaptive learning. The PCM or TCM measures the shift time, and if it is too long or too short, it will raise or lower line pressure so shift time matches the programming. One-way clutches. Terminology. Another common type of automatic transmission device is the one-way clutch, abbreviated OWC, or overrunning clutch. Like a transmission band, a one-way clutch is always a holding device. One-way clutches are either roller or sprag clutches, although the roller clutch is more common. One-way roller clutch. A one-way roller clutch consists of a hub, rollers, and springs that fit inside a drum. The inner circumference of the drum has a series of machined ramps, or cam cuts, to accommodate the rollers and springs. Each ramp is narrower at one end than at the other. If the drum is held while rotating the hub clockwise, the rollers will compress their springs and move toward the larger end of the ramps. This unlocks the clutch because there is enough clearance between the rollers and the drum for the hub to freewheel. Rotate the hub counterclockwise while holding the drum. The rollers move toward the narrow end of the ramp, wedging themselves between the hub and drum to lock the clutch. With the rollers at the narrow end of the ramp, there is no roller to drum clearance. Therefore, the hub cannot turn counterclockwise because the drum is being held. See Figure 134-17. One-way sprag clutch. A one-way sprag clutch that consists of a hub and a drum separated by a number of figure 8-shaped metal pieces called sprags. See Figure 134-18. Sprags lock and unlock the clutch in a manner similar to the rollers in a one-way roller clutch. The shape of a sprag provides two effective working lengths. The direction the sprag tilts determines if working length is short or long. Note: some one-way clutches, either roller or sprag types, can be installed in a transmission or transaxle upside down by mistake. The transmission will not work correctly and will require that the unit be removed and disassembled again. Also check service information on how the one-way clutches should be installed. Refer to Figure 134-16. An integral accumulator is combined with a servo in a single bore in the transmission housing. Refer to Figure 134-17. Figure A, roller one-way clutch in the locked, held, position. Note how the rollers are wedged into the ramp that is machined into the outer support. Figure B, roller one-way clutch in released, free, position. When the inner roller clutch race rotates faster than the outer support, the rollers move out of the wedge and are free to rotate, thereby unlocking the one-way clutch. Refer to Figure 134-18. Figure A, the sprag in the holding, locked, position. Note how the long portion of the sprag is wedged between the inner and outer race. Figure B, the sprag in the released position. The inner race is free to rotate faster than the outer race. Valve body. Purpose and function. A valve body is where most of the valves in a transmission are located, and is attached to the case with bolts. Valve bodies can be either cast aluminum or cast iron. The valve body in most rear-wheel drive transmissions is located inside the oil pan at the bottom of the case. A transaxle valve body may be at the bottom of the case, on the back side of the torque converter housing, or on the top or side of the transaxle housing depending on the specific application. See Figure 134-19. Parts. Valve bodies have many fluid passages for the various transmission hydraulic circuits cast into them. These are sometimes called wormholes or worm tracks. See Figure 134-20. Some of these passages may be widened to form pockets that contain steel, nylon, or rubber check balls. Most valve bodies consist of two or more cast sections that bolt together with a flat metal separator plate between them. The upper section of the valve body is part of the transmission case casting. The separator plate, also called a spacer plate, provides rigidity and contains calibrated holes and openings that help manage fluid flow. Valve bodies contain specialized valves and circuits that are particular to a specific transmission. Electronic solenoids are used in place of some valves on electronically controlled transmissions transaxles. Some transmissions transaxles incorporate the TCM right on the valve body. This eliminates the wire harness between the TCM and the solenoids, which in turn eliminates connector problems. See Figure 134-21. Refer to Figure 134-19. A partially cutaway valve body from a General Motors 4T40E transaxle. Refer to Figure 134-20. A typical upper valve body showing the fluid passages, or wormholes. Refer to Figure 134-21. Electronically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles use solenoids located in the valve body to control line pressure and to open and close passages in the valve body to control shifts. Refer to Figure 134-22. Check balls are used in the valve body to allow hydraulic circuits to share a common passage. Flow directing valves. Flow directing valves, or switching valves, control the direction and distribution of fluid flow in the hydraulic system. These valves may open or close passages, fill hydraulic circuits, apply or release clutches and bands, and control the direction of fluid flow from one passage or circuit to another. One-way valves. A one-way valve allows fluid to flow in one direction. The spring-loaded ball check valve is an example of a one-way valve. Valve operation is similar to that of a poppet valve. The spring holds the ball against its seat at the inlet port until fluid pressure overcomes spring force to push the ball from its seat. Fluid flows through the valve as long as hydraulic pressure exceeds the force of the spring. Spring-loaded ball check valves are used as pressure relief valves, and work well on bypass circuits because they provide a fast apply rate with a slow release. A second type of one-way valve is a simple gravity valve, as commonly used in transmission valve bodies. Check balls. The check balls in these valves are usually made of steel, but they can be nylon, rubber, or some composite material as well. The type of material used depends on the manufacturer and application. Steel balls generally hold up better, but cause greater seat wear because of their hardness. The softer composite balls are easier on seats and they cannot be magnetized. See Figure 134-22. Orifices. Orifices are holes in the separator plate and are used for several reasons, including to control the rate of fluid movement and timing of clutch accumulator application, or shift feel. To separate hydraulic circuits inside the transmission, so a big leak in one circuit will not cause pressures to drop in the rest of the transmission as well. Manual valve. The manual valve is the primary flow directing valve in an automatic transmission. This valve connects to a shift lever in the transmission, which in turn connects to the gear selector lever through a mechanical linkage. The driver controls manual valve position through the gear selector and shift linkage. Mechanical linkage physically positions the manual valve in its bore for the particular gear range selected. The part used to position the manual valve is commonly called the rooster comb because of its shape. See Figure 134-23. The manual valve receives mainline pressure from the regulated pump output and distributes it to the hydraulic circuits uncovered by the valve lands. Refer to Figure 134-23. A rooster comb is the detent that helps retain the manual valve in the various positions in the valve body. Frequently asked question. What is a spool valve? A spool valve is named after a spool of thread. A spool of thread is wooden and a spool valve used in an automatic transmission / transaxle is aluminum or steel. The ridges, larger diameter, of the spool valve fit closely into a smooth bore in the valve body and are used to direct the flow of automatic transmission fluid. The larger diameter sections of the spool valve are called lands. The smaller diameter sections of the valve are called grooves or valleys. The fluid is blocked by the lands and flows through the grooves or valleys. See Figure 134-24. Hydraulically controlled transmission valves. Purpose and function. Hydraulically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles use valves to control when to shift instead of sensors that are used in electronically controlled transmissions transaxles. These valves use mainline pressure to develop other hydraulic circuit pressures within the transmission. Pressure or control valves are normally spool valves that link to external components. Refer to Figure 134-24. The manual valve is a spool valve that is moved by the shift linkage. All valves in the valve body have sharp edges on the lands. Any dirt in the valve body area can cause shifting problems due to the close tolerances between the valves and the bores in the valve body. Refer to Figure 134-25. The throttle valve cable on a 4.60 L. Throttle valve. The transmission throttle valve senses engine load and uses that operating signal to develop throttle pressure on hydraulically controlled automatic transmissions. Throttle valves have linkage that connects them mechanically to the throttle plates, and the throttle valve responds directly to engine load. See Figure 134-25. Throttle valves are responsible for delaying the upshift points of the transmission based on the amount of load on the engine. A low engine load develops low throttle pressure, while a higher load develops higher throttle pressure. The throttle position sensor has replaced the need for these valves in electronically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles. Vacuum modulator valve. A vacuum modulator is used to convert engine manifold vacuum into a signal pressure that increases as engine vacuum decreases. The modulator is connected to the intake manifold vacuum with a rubber hose or steel line. A vacuum modulator is used on hydraulically controlled transmissions transaxles to help determine the shift point based on engine load. The purpose of the vacuum modulator is to delay the upshifting of the transmission based on the engine load. See Figure 134-26. Consider, for example, the following. Light engine load. Manifold vacuum is high, shifts occur at lower speeds. Heavy engine load. Manifold vacuum is low, shifts occur at higher speeds. The manifold absolute pressure sensor or mass airflow sensor and throttle position sensor serve in place of the vacuum modulator valve in measuring engine load on electronically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles. Refer to Figure 134-26. A vacuum modulator moves the modulator valve depending on the vacuum of the engine. A heavy load on the engine causes the vacuum to be lower than when the engine is operating under a light load. The spool valve applies mainline pressure to the boost sleeve of the pressure regulator valve, which causes the mainline pressure to increase. Governor valve. The governor valve monitors vehicle road speed and uses that operating signal to develop governor pressure. The governor valve normally follows transmission output shaft rotation speed, which increases with vehicle speed. Mechanical governors contain flyweights that move in relation to centrifugal forces caused by the speed of the output shaft. As the output shaft speed flyweights move outward, this in turn moves an internal valve which controls the output pressure. As the speed increases, governor pressure also increases. Governor pressure opposes throttle pressure at the shift valves to control upshifts and downshifts in relation to vehicle speed. See Figure 134-27. Some electronic transmissions use the speed sensor signal to control a solenoid which produces a governor pressure, and some do not use a governor pressure. Instead, the speed signal is processed to control the shift valve solenoid directly. Refer to Figure 134-27. A governor assembly is used on older hydraulically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles to control shift points based on vehicle speed. Shift valves. A shift valve is a spring-loaded spool valve that controls the transmission upshift and downshift circuits. Throttle pressure works against one side of the valve, while governor pressure works against the other side. When one pressure is greater than the other, the valve moves to the upshift or downshift position and the valve lands on cover the ports to the relative circuits. Transmission shift valves may be referred to as snap valves or relay valves because they shift almost instantly in response to pressure differential changes. Since these valves cause upshifts and downshifts, they are also known as event-causing valves. There are only two positions for a shift valve. One end of the stroke, or the other end of the stroke. Otherwise, hydraulic pressure could apply control devices for two gears at once and damage the transmission. See Figure 134-28. In an electronically controlled automotive transmission / transaxle, solenoids control the pressure force, which in turn controls the position of the shift valve. Electronically controlled transmissions. Background. Electronically controlled transmissions and transaxles have been used by most vehicle manufacturers since the early 1990s. Compared to hydraulically controlled units, using the powertrain control module or the transmission control module to operate and control shifting results in smoother operation. Also, the PCM or TCM can monitor the circuits and set a diagnostic trouble code if a fault is detected. Note: All transmissions use hydraulic pressure and automatic transmission fluid to do the actual shifting. The difference between hydraulically controlled and electronically controlled automatic transmissions is the way that the shift points are controlled. Refer to Figure 134-28. Shift valves move when there is a difference in pressure. In a hydraulically controlled automatic transmission transaxle, the shift valves compare governor pressure force against throttle valve pressure force to determine when to upshift or downshift. Refer to Figure 134-29. A transmission range switch on a rear-wheel drive automatic transmission mounted directly to the side of the case of the unit and accessible from underneath the vehicle. Inputs. Following are inputs to the powertrain control module and their purposes. Transmission range switch. This sensor is used by the PCM to detect the gear being commanded by the driver. If reverse or a manual forward gear is selected, then higher line pressure will be needed and the shifts will be delayed to provide more power being delivered to the drive wheels. See Figure 134-29. Engine speed. The speed of the engine has a direct relation to the amount of power the engine is developing. The engine speed information is taken from the crankshaft position sensor and is used by the PCM or TCM to control shift points and to regulate line pressure. Throttle position sensor. This sensor is used by the PCM to detect the throttle opening being commanded by the driver. A higher throttle opening means that higher line pressure will be needed and the shifts will be delayed to provide more power being delivered to the drive wheels. Manifold absolute pressure sensor. This sensor is used by the PCM to detect the amount of load on the engine. The greater the load, the more fuel that needs to be supplied, and the greater the amount of power the engine will create. This signal is used to determine the best shift points and to regulate line pressure. Mass airflow sensor. This sensor is used by the PCM to detect the amount of air entering the engine. The greater the amount of air, the more fuel that needs to be supplied and, therefore, the greater the amount of power the engine will create. This signal is used to determine the best shift points and to regulate line pressure. Speed sensors. These sensors measure the speed of the input shaft and output shaft or sometimes other shaft speeds in the automatic transmission or transaxle. The output shaft speed sensor is often used to provide vehicle speed information to the PCM and for adaptive learning and self-diagnosis. See Figure 134-30. Transmission fluid temperature sensor. This sensor is used by the PCM or TCM to detect the temperature of the automatic transmission fluid. This signal is used to determine the best shift points and to regulate line pressure. It will cause the PCM or the TCM to engage the torque converter clutch sooner and disable overdrive, to help reduce the fluid temperature if it reaches higher than normal. Refer to Figure 134-30. Speed sensors are used by the powertrain control module or the transmission control module to control shifts and detect faults such as slippage when the two speeds do not match the predetermined ratio for each gear commanded. Outputs. Outputs to the powertrain control module or transmission control module and their purposes include the following. Pressure control. The PCM or TCM controls the line pressure by changing the signal to the pressure control solenoid. Using the input signal to detect the conditions that the vehicle is being driven, the specified line pressure is commanded to provide smooth shifts without slippage. Shift control solenoids. The PCM or TCM controls the shifting by applying power or ground to the correct control solenoids at the right time. Torque converter clutch. The PCM or TCM controls the application of the torque converter clutch by applying power or ground to the correct control solenoid at the right time. See Figure 134-31. Adaptive learning. Most late model electronically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles use the PCM or TCM to monitor the time it takes to complete a shift. The PCM can determine this from the comparison between the engine speed and the output speed sensor data. When a shift is commanded, there should be a change in the speed of the output shaft. If the change in speed is longer than normal, which could indicate normal wear in the clutch pack, the PCM can learn from this and start the shift sooner to allow time for the clutch to be fully engaged. Refer to Figure 134-31. An example of a solenoid valve installed in a valve body assembly. Shift solenoids. Solenoids used in electronically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles are on-off solenoids. These are can be normally open to fluid flow or normally closed to block fluid flow. They are commanded on or off by the PCM or TCM. The resistance of most on-off shift solenoids is 10 to 15 ohms. Linear solenoids. This type of solenoid can be varied by changing the amount of on time to precisely control the fluid flow through the solenoid valve. The variable power or ground applied to the linear solenoids is pulse width modulated and allows the PCM precise control over the shifting and the fluid pressure. The resistance of most linear PWM shift solenoids is about half of the on-off type and range from 4 to 6 ohms. Shift solenoids control the pressure force, which in turn controls the position of the shift valve. Shift solenoids may be labeled 1 and 2 or A and B. Using a combination of the two shift solenoids prevents the actuation of 4 forward gears. A default, or limp-in, gear is the forward speed that is used if there is a failure in the electronic or computer system. If neither solenoid is engaged, then either second or third gear is actuated, depending on the exact make and model of the transmission or transaxle. See charts 134-2 and 134-3 for examples of two General Motors transmissions. Refer to chart 134-2. In this example, the vehicle would start out and remain in third gear if there was a fault with the computer or wiring. Refer to chart 134-3. In this example, the vehicle would start out and remain in second gear if there was a fault with the computer or wiring. Tech tip: parking brake before parking pawl. To prevent possible damage to the transmission transaxle case or other internal components, most experts agree that the parking brake should be applied before placing the gear selector into the park position, especially when parking on a hill. This procedure keeps the weight of the vehicle from being exerted entirely on the parking pawl and makes it easier to move the gear selector out of the park position. Typical torque flow. The General Motors 4L60E can provide an example of how a typical electronically controlled rear-wheel drive automatic transmission works. See chart 134-4. Park in neutral. With the gear selector level in PRN, there is no torque flow through the gear set, even though the low reverse clutch is applied in the 4L60E. The clutch holds the reaction carrier stationary, but torque input to the gear set stops at the input housing. The torque converter housing and impeller rotate clockwise at engine speed to hydraulically drive the turbine and mechanically drive the oil pump. The transmission input drum assembly rotates clockwise at turbine speed to drive the gear set. Turbine speed is slightly less than engine crankshaft speed. However, there is nothing connecting the input drum assembly to drive the gear sets and transfer torque at this time. In neutral, the output shaft is free to rotate in either direction, and the vehicle can be pushed or towed. However, use caution because if the engine is not running, the pump is not providing lube fluid to components. In park, a mechanical pawl or finger engage is one of many large notches cut into a gear mounted on the output shaft. In park to the transmission case, preventing the vehicle from moving in either direction. Refer to chart 134-4. The General Motors 4L60E electronically controlled rear-wheel drive transmission clutch, band, and solenoid application chart. Overdrive first. With the gear selector lever in overdrive, the transmission starts off in first gear, and then upshifts into second, third, and fourth gears as the vehicle continues to accelerate. To engage first gear, the forward clutch applies, transferring engine torque from the input shaft to the input sun gear through the forward sprag clutch, driving the sun gear clockwise. With the input sun gear turning clockwise, the input pinion gears spin counterclockwise in the stationary carrier and attempt to drive the input ring, or internal, gear and reaction carrier counterclockwise. However, the forward sprag clutch is holding, so the pinions walk clockwise inside the ring, or internal, gear, turning the input carrier clockwise. Then, the input carrier drives the output shaft clockwise in gear reduction. See figure 134-32. The reaction ring, or internal, gear turns clockwise along with the output shaft and drives the reaction pinions clockwise on the stationary reaction carrier assembly. Pinion action drives the reaction sun gear counterclockwise. However, the reaction sun gear is not connected to a gear set member, so the reaction gear set simply freewheels. The low roller clutch prevents the reaction carrier from turning counterclockwise. As long as the vehicle continues to accelerate in overdrive first, torque transfers through the gear set to the output shaft. During closed throttle coasting, the clockwise torque load on the forward sprag clutch and the counterclockwise torque load on the low roller clutch are released. Both one-way clutches overrun, so the gear sets freewheel on deceleration, and engine braking is not available. Overdrive second. As the vehicle continues to accelerate in the overdrive range, the transmission upshifts to second gear by applying the 2-4 band. The band holds the reverse drum, input shell, and reaction sun gear stationary. The forward clutch remains applied, while the input shaft drives the input sun gear clockwise through the forward sprag clutch. See Figure 134-33. As in first gear, the input sun gear rotates clockwise and drives the input pinions counterclockwise. Since the 2-4 band is holding, the input pinions walk inside the internal gear, driving the input carrier and output shaft clockwise in gear reduction. At the same time, the output shaft drives the reaction internal ring gear and pinion gears clockwise. With the reaction sun gear held, the pinion gears walk clockwise and drive the reaction carrier clockwise with them. Clockwise rotation of the reaction carrier transfers to the input ring, or internal, gear through the reaction carrier shaft. With the input ring, or internal, gear turning clockwise, the input pinions spin counterclockwise and drive the input carrier clockwise. This removes the counterclockwise torque load from the low roller clutch so that it overruns at this time. There is no engine compression braking available in overdrive second because the forward sprag clutch overruns. Overdrive third. To automatically upshift into third gear as the vehicle continues to accelerate, the transmission releases the 2-4 band and applies the 3-4 clutch. Also, the forward clutch remains applied so the input shaft drives the input sun gear clockwise through the forward sprag clutch. See Figure 134-34. Applying the 3-4 clutch connects the input shaft to the input ring, or internal, gear, which drives the ring, internal, gear clockwise at turbine speed. Now that two members of the input gear set, the sun and ring, or internal, are being driven at turbine speed, the gear set provides direct drive as it locks up and turns as a unit. As long as the vehicle is accelerating in overdrive third, torque transfers through the planetary gear set to the output shaft. There is no engine braking because the forward one-way clutch overruns and allows the input sun gear to freewheel. Refer to Figure 134-32. A GM 4-liter 60E torque, or power, flow in overdrive first gear. Refer to Figure 134-33. A GM 4-liter 60E torque, or power, flow in overdrive second gear. Refer to Figure 134-34. A GM 4-liter 60E torque, or power, flow in overdrive third gear. Refer to Figure 134-35. A GM 4-liter 60E torque, or power, flow in overdrive fourth gear. Refer to Figure 134-36. A GM 4-liter 60E torque, or power, flow in reverse. Overdrive fourth. The transmission upshifts into fourth gear by applying the 2-4 band as the vehicle continues to accelerate in overdrive range. The 2-4 band holds the reverse drum and reaction sun gear stationary. Both the 3-4 and forward clutches remain applied, and the input drum continues to drive the input ring, or internal, gear clockwise. See Figure 134-35. This drives the reaction carrier clockwise as well, since it is in common with the input ring, or internal, gear. As the carrier turns, the reaction pinions walk clockwise around the stationary reaction sun gear. This drives the reaction ring, or internal, gear and output shaft clockwise at an overdrive ratio. In fourth gear, the input ring, internal, gear turns at input shaft speed, while the input carrier turns at a faster output shaft speed, both gears turn clockwise. As a result, the input pinions turn counterclockwise and drive the sun gear clockwise faster than input speed. This causes the forward sprag clutch to overrun and renders the forward friction clutch, which remains applied, ineffective. When the transmission is operating in fourth gear, the input member, the reaction carrier, is being driven by a multiple plate clutch, while a band prevents the held member, the reaction sun gear, from turning in either direction. Therefore, engine compression braking is available. However, due to the overdrive gear ratio, the braking effect is not noticeable to the driver. Reverse. With the gear selector lever in reverse, the low reverse clutch applies to drive the reaction sun gear clockwise with the input shaft. The reaction carrier and input ring, or internal, gear are held stationary by the applied reverse input clutch. This turns the reaction pinions counterclockwise and drives the carrier counterclockwise in gear reduction. See Figure 134-36. In reverse gear, the input ring, or internal, gear is held, while the input carrier is driven counterclockwise. This causes the input pinions to rotate clockwise and drive the input sun gear counterclockwise. Review questions. Question 1. What are three planetary gear set apply devices? Question 2. How are shift points achieved with a hydraulically controlled automatic transmission transaxle? Question 3. How are solenoids used to control the shifting on electronically controlled automatic transmissions transaxles? Question 4. What are the parts of a typical clutch pack assembly? Question 5. What are the solenoids used in a typical electronically controlled automatic transmission transaxle? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. All current model automatic transmissions are designed to use A. Non-friction modified ATF. B. Friction modified ATF. C. SAE0W20 engine oil dyed red. D. Highly friction modified ATF. Question 2. Two technicians are discussing automatic transmission transaxle oil pumps. Technician A says that many automatic transmissions transaxles use a variable displacement pump. Technician B says that the pump is driven by the torque converter. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 3. Technician A says that the automatic transmission transaxle fluid cooler is designed to cool the automatic transmission fluid. Technician B says that the cooler also warms the ATF when the fluid is cold. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 4. Technician A says that the governor is used to measure vehicle speed in an hydraulically controlled automatic transmission. Technician B says that the difference between hydraulically controlled and electronically controlled automatic transmissions is the way that the shift points are controlled. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. Force motors are controlled by the computer by A. Increasing, decreasing current, or amperes. B. PWM. C. Increasing, decreasing voltage. D. Changing the resistance in the circuit. Question 6. Two technicians are discussing one-way clutches. Technician A says that a sprag and a roller are two types of one-way clutches. Technician B says that a one-way clutch could be installed upside down and cause the automatic transmission transaxle to not function correctly. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. What is the part of the planetary gear set called that is being held by a band? A. Reaction member. B. Compound gear set. C. Simple gear set. D. Held member. Question 8. What is the purpose and function of an accumulator? A. To apply a clutch. B. To apply a band. C. To cushion or dampen pressure surges. D. Either A or B. Question 9. Check balls used in the valve body are constructed of A. Steel. B. Nylon. C. Rubber. D. Any of the above. Question 10. Technician A says the default or limp-in gear is usually second or third gear. Technician B says that a transmission clutch, band and solenoid chart shows the technician what is being applied in each gear. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 134.